Film Vault.
Yeah, Film Vault.
Welcome, everybody, to the Film Vault. I'm Brian Bishop. That's award-winning filmmaker Anderson Challen.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, come on, you use your full name this time. Come on.
Stop it.
Thank you for joining us. Top five summer movies. Movies about the summer. Movies involving the summer. Movies taking place in summer. Movies where summer is a big component.
Summer theme.
Summer theme.
Yeah.
Not quite as fruitful as I'd hoped.
There's a lot.
There are.
There's a lot, but I came up with like strict criteria, so I had to let a lot off the list. Like, no fish. I don't have any monstrous fish on my list because when you think of that movie, you think of the fish. You don't think of, oh yeah, it was summertime, even though that was a huge component of it. Because
I disagree about that one, but I do know what you're saying.
A lot of movies
that happen
There's
to take
place. There's a fish on the list for Bri-Bri.
No, I left it off. A lot of movies that happen to take place in the summertime where it's not quite so important to the story. And then for that story, it is, because that's the whole reason why they didn't kill the shark at first, was because the mayor was like, oh, it's huge summertime.
Like, yeah, they wouldn't care if there's just like some homeless bums like on the ocean front like in wintertime.
Precisely.
We have some hobos bobbing in the water. Who cares? They wouldn't care. But since there's a bunch of children and tourists, became a thing. Also, like, you'll see when we get there. But, like, I can put summer in front of a word that describes the movie for all of my movies. Huh? The exception of possibly one.
Okay. Wait, summer in front of a word. Like summer camp, summer house.
Right.
Summer, okay.
See?
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm thinking it, the listeners are thinking it. Hey, let's talk about some movies.
Let's do it.
We're going to get into Flick Fashions, the top movies we've seen this... Well, Boston,
the three
the top,
movies.
The three movies we've seen
At
this
least
week.
Three movies.
We'll confess the flicks we've seen and call it Flick Fashions. Anderson.
Like I've said before, like I'll see upwards of 6-7. Not so much lately because I've been super busy, but a lot of time I'll see like upwards of 6-7 movies some weeks, but I only report on the three best.
Well, three most notable. What if there's like a big movie that comes out you got to talk about?
Other people are talking about it.
What have you been doing? So busy.
Just a busy life. Wife's got me doing all sorts of stuff, working on things, doing this, doing that. Hey, I need to turn it up here. Huh? All right, so let's do this.
I want to talk about this movie for a while. I saw a short film.
Oh no!
An award-winning short film called The Rules of Reduction.
Stop it.
Directed, written, and directed by Anderson Cowan.
We have not talked about this other than like, all right, so I saw...
I barely knew the title, honestly. When I saw the sheet of the films that were going to be at the list, I was like, or at the festival, I was like, oh, that's Anderson's movie.
So my film played, the first one of the five that I did last year played. I don't know, I talk a lot about this shit and there's very little fruit to this point. But last week, I was lucky enough to have it playing at the Chinese Theater at a monthly screening by Holly Shorts, which is fantastic.
Like Hollywood, but Holly Shorts.
Right, and it's one of the top... especially local festivals. It's really well run, and Daniel, who runs it and created it 10 years ago, has been great. Anyways, it played Thursday, and Brian and Logan were nice enough to show up, and
it was a good time. A lot of
you showed up. I met Migs. Migs will be happy to hear his name twice on the show now.
I saw people in After Zest t-shirts, Film Vault t-shirts.
Yeah, it was fun. It was
pretty
good.
Awesome.
We had some people show up, and one guy was from Walla Walla. Came in, he just happened to be in town, so that was cool.
Nice.
It was also on the night that Michael Magic fucking Mike XXL was
premiering.
And there was a bunch of douche fucks down there protesting frozen embryos, like that matters in their life.
Interesting.
And then a riot broke out. All true. Huh. Out in front.
And in the middle of all this, The Rules of Reduction. Were you nervous? Were you nerve-wracked when the film was being played?
Yeah, you always are. I mean, it's never enjoyable.
Don't tell me. I never had a film play at a film festival.
Every time, I've had things that I've done in the past, whether it was my student film actually played at the Directors Guild of America. It also played at the big Carpenter Center in Long Beach. Every time you see something that you no longer have control of being viewed by a number of people, it's for me, who I'm a control freak, it really bothers me a lot.
Right.
And if people aren't, like, especially when they're comedies, which they always are with me, like if there's ever any silence, it's like, oh God, why is everyone silent? Why? Make some noise.
There should be raucous laughter.
But for the most part, with this one, I've screened it a few times now and it gets laughs where the laughs are supposed to be. My favorite parts don't get laughed at, but yeah. What are you going to do?
It is a, I wouldn't say it's divisive material, but this is material that is not easily accessible to a general audience.
Tara Lynn Barr, Mike Carano's friend, went with him, and she let me know that somebody next to her, she overheard them laughing during my film, saying, this is so terribly wrong, while chuckling.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of the reaction. That's, I think, the best case reaction that you can get.
Yeah, you laugh while you know that you shouldn't be. That's what I was shooting for.
And there was a Q&A afterwards with the filmmakers, including you.
Yeah.
You held your own up there, buddy.
Yeah.
You were impressive.
Wife told me I looked nervous.
You did look nervous. Well, that's endearing,
fidgety.
Though.
I'm nervous right now.
I don't want the guy up there that's too cool for school. He doesn't want to be either. Listen, there are plenty of artsy, let's call them pretentious types up there. It was like, get the fuck off.
That
the
wasn't
stage.
Nearly as bad as the last one that I was at.
Really?
The last festival I was at, like in March, I think. And we had chairs up there, and I had to sit up there. And like every guy up there thought that he was like the next Spielberg, the next Kubrick. Oh my God, took himself so fucking seriously. We're making shorts here, people.
God, these are the kind of people that have personalized license plates that say Kubrick or something.
Oh, fuck yourself. Yeah, that's a shot at me. But I want to thank everyone that came out and watched, because I know that some of the films were a bit challenging to get through, a bit trying. There was like some real actors in some of the
films were a chore.
Some of the films didn't feel short.
Some were very good.
And some were good, yeah. So.
The one I voted for didn't win. Who won the audience
You're
award?
Such a
Who
fuck.
Won the audience
award? So there was an audience award where there's a little ballot and you fill it out and you pick your favorite movie of the night, and there's 8 or 9 movies that played, and mine won the audience award, which is cool. I guess that the guys that run it, they have like a weighted vote. So I don't think that, like, otherwise you could just buy your way in. You know, you could have bought all the tickets and give them to like homeless people and said, vote for my film.
Okay.
Because now my film's playing in the bigger one in August.
So but how do you have weighted when it's just, literally, as far as I could tell, they just counted the votes.
Yeah, but the guys that run it, they also get a say, and their votes count for more, from what I understand.
So there's an audience vote, component with the judges.
That way you couldn't, like, KKK couldn't, like, I guess they wouldn't have picked. You know what I mean? But you couldn't.
We probably wouldn't have made the initial cut.
You couldn't steer your way in by just with money. So.
Your subject matter only slightly less controversial than KKK.
Oh, it wasn't that controversial. It's about a boy, a man child, who doesn't understand that maybe dressing up like a pedophile to keep people away from him
intentionally
is not a good idea. Yeah. And his mom tries to explain that to him. So, anyways, let's
solid
talk
everybody.
About
I enjoyed the rules of reduction. That was excellent. What's next? What are you going to screen? What are you have the Anderson? Were we talking about that?
Yeah.
You talked about that. Right?
I'm about to make tickets available, but. Mark the date, save the date, September 26th. We're going to have a big shindig here in LA where I'm going to show probably 10, maybe 11 separate things. Most importantly, the last 5 that I shot last year. So it's going to be
26. That's a Saturday.
It's going to be it's a Saturday night.
Going big.
It's going to be a cold cockle night.
And do you know where it's going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be as right now. I haven't
just
signed the deal yet, but
part of town,
Miracle Mile, West LA,
oh, beautiful.
With a big parking lot, which was very, very important to me when picking a location.
It's a $5 Uber ride for me.
A big, giant, free parking lot.
Love
for
it
for everyone to park. And walk.
Psyched.
And bar and drinks and food. It's going to be a good time.
Be a good time.
Tickets will be available on my site shortly. I'm probably just going to do like a straight PayPal thing.
So I'm going worst to first. So go with your film.
You're such a dick. All right.
That's pretty good.
I know. We just spent 10 minutes talking about nothing. I saw a movie.
Talk about a film you cannot see. You cannot stream. You cannot watch.
You can watch the trailer. The trailer is up on my website.
A trailer for a
I saw Brian at Braun, when I saw Brian at the festival, he was very giddy, very very ADD.
Oh, they tried to interview me.
Why?
Remember they tried to I came up behind you and then the cameraman knew me because they thought that I was a director for some reason. I must have that look.
Oh, thought
Christ. I was a director for some reason. They're like, so we're going to talk about your film. We're going to ask you a question about your film. And I came this close to talking about your movie.
Oh my God, that would have upset me so much. What if they put my name underneath
that
you?
That would be so great.
On the website? Oh God.
And it was before he had seen it too, so it would have been just inaccurate information.
You wouldn't have even known the name.
It would have been, you're right. It would have been vague, like, you know, platitudes and cliches. Like, listen, we all fought hard to be here. I'm just happy to be a part of this.
Before we move on, one last thing I'd like to say. Of the 5, 2 of the film, I'm glad that you liked it, because I know that you didn't like my student film.
I didn't like it, but it was...
There's 2 others that I shot that I like quite a bit more than that one, and they're all equally as wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a style, apparently.
Indeed.
Here we go, Devil Wears Prada.
Yes.
For 9 years.
Let's do a double. Let's do a double flick fashion.
You
I signed it to both of yous. No, I signed it to both of yous.
I watched it. I did my homework.
Granted, it was on TV, and I did watch about an hour of it.
2006. Devil Wears Prada.
God, what a
PG-13.
What a great movie.
What a slap in the face that PG-13 was every step of the way. 9 years of successful sidestepping, and then you assigned.
Mm-hmm.
Why the fuck?
There's plenty of people tweeting and saying that's not a bad movie.
You can't imagine that I would like this movie.
I absolutely can't.
You can't imagine.
I'm ready for you to say that you enjoyed it. I'm ready for you to say you enjoyed it.
Nope.
You loved
it. What does it say right there? Just says, I simply know. And then it says, hate the package.
Oh, stop it.
The fucking package, Brian. What's it was packaged for 15-year-old girls and possibly Logan.
Logan?
What's that supposed to mean?
Maybe you liked it.
It wasn't terrible.
Yeah. This is a good movie.
The story was there.
Kubrick was on my Kubrick. Tucci was on my sidekick list.
Tucci was good.
Sidekicks.
I liked the story. I liked the characters for the most part, and it was an interesting look at a world of fashion that I usually shy away from and turn the other way because I hate it.
No,
so gross.
Well, yeah,
disgusting.
Yeah. You're right. You know the fashion worldness of it.
I enjoyed seeing that though, because I don't really know much about it other than watching an entire season of America's Next Top Model with the wife in one day while on vacation.
The only part I didn't like was the Adrian Grenier parts. I didn't care for that.
Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt, Stanley Tucci, Simon Baker with a very strange facial thing going on. I didn't even think it was him for the first half of the movie.
Who?
I'm like, who is that guy that looks like Simon Baker?
Yeah, Simon Baker. Well,
but
he had
bleached eyebrows or something. He looked like a puppet.
I don't know a lot about him.
Like, I expected to see someone standing behind him with their hand up his ass making him talk. He looked like a ventriloquist puppet.
Oscar nomination for best actress?
Adrienne Grenier.
Yeah.
Is he Turtle?
Adrienne Grenier is Vincent Chase. He's the main character.
Vinny Chase and what?
Vinny Chase in Entourage.
Well, don't ask. Don't act like I know Entourage. I'm not a bruh.
You should be aware of Entourage.
I don't know the characters. Anyway, so... 10 minutes into this movie, I'm like, what is with these sweeping like city shots and helicopter shots and this music in my face, this poppy music? And it was made for 15-year-old girls, Brian. How
was
you
not.
Could think absolutely
that's
was.
Ridiculous.
PG-13, made for 13-year-old girls. How about that?
This is a grown-up.
So I'm thinking this feels like,
Logan,
like
talk some sense.
This feels like Sex in the City.
No, it does not.
This feels like Entourage. I looked up the director, David Frankel. Sure enough, while I'm watching the movie, I'm like, this feels like Sex. I bet you anything. Sure enough, credited with directing episodes of Sex in the fucking City.
To know. This is a great movie.
No, Brian, I give you, I'm honest. I can never lie.
I believe you.
It's definitely a movie made for women, but I think that the story holds up. Like, it's not like only women can enjoy it.
It's a decent story.
I think teenagers would be bored by this movie. I feel like this is for like adult women.
They'd love it. No,
this is love it. He says definitively.
Yeah, teenage girls would love this.
They'd
movie.
Love it.
They would love it. Yeah.
Shows that I know.
I do not like.
Sorry,
buddy. I did not like. It's everything.
Really didn't like
it's
it.
It's so goddamn paint by glittery number. Paint
didn't
by
like-
Stardust number, Brian.
I didn't like that. Well, I mean, without speaking about the ending, I felt like the whole B story was kind of lost on me.
Like the boyfriend?
I didn't want her to end up with the boyfriend in the end, and that was kind of a major plot point.
I almost forgot the most important part.
The Grenier parts were
he was a dick to her.
Yeah. He was a wet blanket. It's like, why is he even in her life?
Here's another problem that I have with this
being
chef. Catered okay. right towards like, you know, young girls or women of all ages. It doesn't matter. There's a fucking rape in the middle of this movie that just completely blown off. A man gets a woman drunk. She continues to say no as he kisses her over and over. She says, I'm too drunk. And then finally she goes, whatever. And they bang. And then they part ways in the morning and she's disgusted with him. And they just blow right over that.
I'm a lawyer, actually. Whatever means yes, please.
I'm a lawyer. Whatever means what?
Fellas.
Fellas? This is an Entourage watcher right here to my right, people. He's proving it with every
actually,
word.
I never saw the movie.
I saw the movie. I liked it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Is it
guys.
My mic that's doing it?
Yes.
Okay, come on.
Maybe
buddy.
You should just turn it off forever.
That's what happens when you
talk. Saw Entourage.
Keep talking about how good.
Are you excited about Ballers? You're pretty pumped.
It's actually a pretty good show.
Oh!
It's actually not bad. I've watched the first two episodes.
I would never take you as a bruh, but you are a bruh. You
it's a get guilty like, pleasure show.
What you watch doesn't define your brahness.
No, it totally does.
Shucking a beer is right, bruh. Woo!
I did not high five that man.
Man, my hand's sore, Anderson. You've been high fiving a lot.
Anyway, so no, Brian, you know my taste. I need
movie.
Some kind of art there. I need some kind of
good movie.
Personality. And
did you like Meryl Streep's performance?
She's always great. I don't know if she's going to be great.
Miranda Priestley?
Nikki the Rocker or whatever her fucking name is in that new movie.
I was kind of expecting more from Meryl Streep. I
really?
Thought she did good, but it was kind of underplayed.
Nah, I forgot she was Meryl Streep, which I always do.
I liked Emily Blunt.
She was great,
as the other assistant.
Yeah, Emily Blunt was good. There was a couple of funny, witty lines here and there, but for the most part, it was just shit.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't like it.
So
I was
goddamn
hoping you
paid by fucking number, Brian. Can't you see that? Can't you watch that and say, wow, Anderson's probably going to hate this movie?
But a lot of movies that are made for a mass audience or paint by numbers is what you do with it once you have the sort of base code down. It's all the accoutrement on the movie.
The music was so over the top, so in my face.
Yeah.
So gross.
I didn't care.
I did.
Obviously.
It's like a Volvo. If that movie was a car, it'd be a Volvo.
Oh, okay.
Just boxy and boring and paint by numbs.
I feel like it's a Lexus. It's like
what?
you could do a lot worse, but
not a Lexus.
If you want to just barely be in the luxury car market, you could do
what?
That's your entry.
fucking Jaguar snob, smug cunt over here. Oh, I'm sorry.
I saw a movie.
I try not to say cunt anymore.
I saw a movie I didn't like so much.
Apologize.
Unfortunately. Ted 2.
What?
Sit down.
What's going on with the people at the table with me?
Sit down.
Entourage, baller watching. Now you're going to see Ted in the theater?
Baller watching.
Ted 2 in the theater.
I saw Ted 2.
Why would you
do that? In the theaters. I like Ted 1. I think you did too, right? Ted 1?
It was okay. There were some moments that were really good. It was probably the funniest movie that summer.
Yeah, you're not missing much. Written and directed by Seth MacFarlane, Mark Wahlberg, blah, 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 blah. Man of Seafried. Okay, major problems.
Seth's going to have to reinvent himself here.
Did you ever see Million Ways to Die in the West?
Yes, I did.
Rough. Mm-hmm. Rough.
Still,
this is not as bad. This is
top five modern Westerns, though.
What? How? Why?
Because I don't like Westerns. Okay. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
This is, okay. So, of course, Mark Wahlberg and Amanda Seyfried need to fall in love. Everyone knows this is about fucking Ted needs to prove he's a human or a person and not property. And if they get a lawyer, it's Amanda Seyfried. And, of course, the plot requires her to fall in love with Mark Wahlberg. And at one point, she says to him, she's like, how is a guy like you single? And it's like, oh, this fucking guy who's barely employed. You're a 26-year-old lawyer. He's 20 years older than you. He barely has a job. He spends all day literally smoking pot and playing video games as a fucking teddy bear. This is the catch that you're going for. Yeah.
Do they pay off what happened to Mila Kunis' character?
Yeah, a couple of lines like, oh, it didn't work out. We got divorced. Uh-huh. It's very, very unsatisfying. Dissatisfying?
It's a fucking movie about a talking teddy bear. I don't know if you need a ton of backstory from the last one. And plus, you're going to get all the jokes that weren't good enough for the last one.
Kind
this
of.
One.
Yeah, because you're dealing with essentially the same premise. All that matters in a movie like this is, did you laugh or did it make you laugh? And there were some good jokes. I'm not trying to just shit on the movie, but most of the jokes just did not land. You saw them coming. You felt the punchline. You felt the payoff. And it was like, oh, all right, well, on to the next joke, I guess, because they just didn't land. There were some good stuff. There was a part where they, to blow off some steam, they go to an improv show, and they like fucking with improv people, and then the improv troupe is like, okay, well, give us a historical event. And Ted's like, 9/11. It's like, oh, okay, well, give us a location.
Fun fact.
The offices of Charlie Hebdo.
What is that?
It's speaking of so wrong, that's the French paper that got bombed because they put a picture of Muhammad in there.
Yes.
Bombed by ISIS.
Seth MacFarlane was supposed to actually be on one of those 9/11 planes and he missed his flight.
That's right.
And argued and almost on it and then didn't get on it. So there you go.
So some solid laughs, but not enough to warrant seeing this in the theater. Or I would barely even rent it if I were you. If it was on HBO.
So it's a 2-star movie, it sounds like.
Yeah, not a disaster, but below average. So unfortunately,
if you're one of our listeners who's like likes to get drunk and high and watch movies and not care about
I've had plenty of people say, oh, you gotta be high to watch it.
It's fuck
like,
that
if that's the case, knock yourself out.
Check it out, the teddy
it's
bear
so random
smoking weed, bro.
Yeah, it's 47% of Rotten Tomatoes, which feels just about right. Just below average.
47% of paid critics like that shit. I haven't seen it. I can call it shit.
Times voted 150 times.
I meant to lead the show with this. I forgot. My favorite thing that's happened in the movie world since the last time I saw you guys is a theater in Ohio. I mean, you hear about this? Hey, you hear about this?
Hey, man, in Ohio.
Played Insidious 3 by mistake instead of Inside Out. That is hilarious. That is awful. And it's sad for the parents who have to deal because you know those movies. First of all, parents, you're idiots. If you're watching, you think you're going to see Inside Out and you're sitting there and like 20 minutes of trailers is all B horror movies coming out later this year, you should realize you're probably not.
How far do they get into the movie before they realize?
Not very far, but these movies always start off
with
a bang.
They open with some horror.
They open so. Those poor kids.
Kids, close your eyes.
I can see how that could happen, especially everything's digital now and you just got to type inside.
Because the first five letters or whatever is the same. So I can see you messed up by that. Got a theater full of Andersons coming out of there. Little Andersons running around.
My dad probably would have taken me to see Insidious 3.
He would have been upset if they accidentally played Inside Out.
What is this kid's shit?
Anderson, close your eyes.
Fuck you, Braves. All right, I'm sorry. Inside shit. I saw a movie. Very independent little movie.
You saw Ted 2 also?
Called The Overnight.
I almost saw it earlier today.
I would have liked you to have seen it so that we could talk about it together. No, I don't go to your theater, Brian. It's not been established numerous times.
In the screening lounge with the couches.
Oh, Christ, I hate that. I feel like they all have bed bugs. I've seen people fall asleep on those couches and in that theater.
I put some bed bugs in there last time.
Massive, fat people. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, speaking of which, I saw my next movie in the lounge. Well, we'll get to that in a second.
The Overnight, starring Jason Schwartzman, Judith Godreche.
Carrie Fisher's kid?
It's
Talia Shire's kid.
Plays a woman named Charlotte. She's French. She's married to Jason Schwartzman, who is Kurt. Adam Scott plays somebody? Alex. Yeah, Alex. And Taylor Schilling. Oh, and her loveliness from Orange is the New Black plays Emily. And they're a couple. So this was shot in 12 days, primarily in your boss's house.
Indeed.
They shot it in Adam Carolla's house. So you get to see the inner workings of Adam Carolla's mind because he created that house as well. He designed
it. It's a pretty
spectacular
house.
They talk about that. The house is almost a character in the movie, really. You know, but they talk about the house quite a bit throughout the movie. The couples. So here's the storyline. Adam Scott and Taylor Schilling, they have a little like a toddler, and they just moved from Seattle a couple weeks ago, and they live in LA now. And they're at the park, and it's already been established Adam Scott's not really good at making new friends, kind of fish out of water, and Taylor Schilling's great, and she's a career woman, he's a stay-at-home dad, and they meet Jason Schwartzman, who walks up to them, typical LA hipster, I guess. He's like wearing a hat like he's a pilgrim. And he introduces himself to them and befriends them and invites them over for dinner that night. And they do. They go over, and the couple, all four of them, end up having a crazy fucking night that lasts until the wee hours of the morning, Brian. And many things happen. You see peni.
I heard.
Prosthetic wieners, Brian.
Why do you think I wanted to see it?
Prosthetic wieners. And it was good. It was comically done so that you could tell that they're a fake, just the right amount. Like, you could tell the giant bush around Adam Scott's penis was totally fake. But it was good. I'm glad. I don't need to see, like, realistic-looking fake wiener. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's a small, really small feeling, little indie movie. You don't see many of these hit the big screen very often anymore. It's very funny and very uncomfortable at moments. A couple scenes didn't work. You could tell, like, it was like... It's one of these movies that you could tell they had a lot of fun making. Adam Scott was one of the producers on it, and the guy that directed it, whose name I didn't write down because I'm a dick. He's an actor as well.
Stein or Duplass produced it, right?
Yeah, the Duplass brothers produced it, and then one of
Patrick Bryce.
Patrick Bryce, who didn't make anything notable before. He's an actor as well. But anyways, you could do worse. I saw it in a theater filled with old Jewish people. Not much laughter. I felt uncomfortable as I was laughing because I realized I was
laughing?
The only one laughing of the, like, 200 or so. And I saw these old Jewish people in front of me buying their tickets. And I'm like, don't say the overnight because you have no idea. Oh, two for the overnight. I'm like, oh, Jesus, now they're going to be in there.
Prosthetic penises.
Yeah, there's some really uncomfortable
moments.
Yeah, some moments. Some weird moments. But yeah, I like it. I wish more little movies like this, you know, got made and came out. It felt like a French film almost. Like a French film from like the 70s. Mm. I could definitely
limited
see
storytelling.
This. Like a Tata. What's that?
Limited storytelling. Takes place primarily in the house.
Primarily in the house. There's an excursion where the girls leave the house for a moment. And obviously before the house, they're at the park. Right. And you know, I'd say 90% takes place in the confines of the house or in the pool.
I did want to see it. I'm going to see it at some point. I missed it today.
It's good. It's a solid three-star movie, three-and-a-half-star movie. You don't need to run out and see it in the theater, especially if you live like an hour away from the closest place it's playing. Wait till it comes out. It's worth sending away for, or if it's streaming, definitely check it out like 6 months from now.
Okay. I saw you have one more movie, right?
Talk yeah. About
cool. My best movie I saw this week, aside from Rules of Reduction, best feature film I saw this week.
Brian.
Dope.
Oh, you saw Dope.
Saw Dope. Saw it in the theater. Saw it in the screening lounge in the,
all right,
the couch.
That doesn't matter.
It does matter because
not important.
Dope starts out. There are quite a bit of N-words dropped in the first 10, 15 minutes.
Were
quite
there?
A bit.
I didn't notice.
Quite a bit.
I didn't.
And
did not notice.
By the way, speaking of which, guy behind me, white guy, laughing loudly, not at the N-words, but laughing loudly. And I was like, oh, this is like the Anderson of the theater. He's laughing loudly at all the inappropriate laughter.
No, that's not necessarily true. How many movies have you seen with me?
Not that many.
Like two.
Three. Yeah, two or three.
Yeah. So you have no basis on what you're saying.
Well, your descriptions.
Well, yeah, I describe things that occur, yeah. Like I just did with the last movie.
So in the first 10 to... Have you seen Dope, Logan? In the first 10 to 15 minutes...
It's a movie for you, Logan.
I really want to see it.
Yeah, you're going to like it.
It's solid. In the first 10 to 15 minutes, many, many N-words drops.
And, I'm so unracist, I don't even hear them, bro. You know
I felt
I mean?
Uncomfortable.
What does that mean?
I felt even more uncomfortable when a couple of black ladies walked in late to the movie and walked in and sat right next to me. Right next to me.
Oh,
in the couch.
I had a very uncomfortable racial exchange.
Lots of objectionable terms for African Americans.
Wait, what?
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 Lots of objectionable terms for African Americans.
On the screen or from the women?
No, on the screen.
Oh.
Yeah, no, being shouted at
it's
the women.
It's a black movie, though, Brian.
I know, but it was uncomfortable.
Was it uncomfortable?
The N-word, because the N-word, yeah, at one point the N-word becomes an issue. Remember, the white guy says it and conversation?
All right, he gets his comeuppance.
Literally, I didn't say what happened to him. You're the one just said what
happened.
All right. I was just bringing up the fact that it happened.
Hey, real quick, before I forget, and totally non sequitur, but I had a very uncomfortable racial exchange, and I was the ass, and I will talk about it on the After Disaster.
Well, I'm here now.
Nope, can't do it. It involved a black woman saying, did you really just say that? Like, angrily, though.
Wow.
And I went to the, but I was just quoting someone, which I was, but here's the problem. Right after I was quoting that person.
It's Paul Dano in 12 Years of Life.
Right after I was quoting that person, I didn't say the N-word. I was talking about a stereotype. Right after I was quoting that person, I said to the entire bar, you know, it's funny because it's true.
And then that's a tease.
It involves your boss, too. He's the one I was quoting. I was quoting Corolla. It was uncomfortable, Brian.
Dope. 2015. It's in theaters now. Directed by Rick Famuyiwa. Famuyiwa, I guess. Talk to Me as he would direct it. You saw Talk to Me, right? The where, what's his face? John Cheadle's a DJ?
Nope.
You didn't see that?
No. He didn't make that.
Interesting.
He didn't make that. Stop fake typing. He didn't make Talk to Me.
Most possibly.
He might have written
it. He was in it.
Fumajaba.
Oh, is that Iris Reedon? Is he a writer on that movie?
He writes and directs, so I could see him writing something and not directing it.
But no,
he
did. Cassie Lemons directed.
Cassie Lemons, you know what she's famous for? Mm-hmm. She's
directing Talk to Me.
She was in the Silence of the Lamb. She played Clarice's friend at the Academy.
Oh.
And then she went on, she directed some good shit.
It's pretty. Yeah. Shameik Moore, Tony Revolori, Kiersey Clemons. A lot of young actors I don't know. 89% Rotten Tomatoes. The cast is great. Mm-hmm. I love the cast for this movie. This is one of those, in my opinion, deeply flawed yet still good movies. This movie had a lot of problems.
You have problems with the tone.
Lots of problems with the dialogue. In my opinion.
Like what?
Not
the N-word. You didn't like?
No, not throughout. There was just some very stilted conversation. A huge problem with the females in the movie, particularly the ones that he's romantically involved in, they only exist to either further the plot or fulfill like his sexual fantasies.
Or
like,
for us to enjoy.
What do you mean?
They're marvelous to look at.
Oh, I agree.
Marveling at them.
I do not think this movie would do well on the Bechdel test.
What's the Bechdel test?
The Bechdel test, you know what that is? That's where
it's a way to determine if a movie is follows feminist principles.
How do you? Is this like in the ball in Ballers? Did they cover it in Ballers or Entourage? How do you guys know this? How do you guys both know this
feminism study term?
What?
You went to film school.
I don't like this at all.
Bechdel test.
We're cutting all of this out.
It asks three questions, and I'm gonna start asking this of your short films. Number one, is there more than one female character? Number two, do they talk to each other at any point? Number three, do they talk about something other than a man? Other than a boy, other than a guy. And a lot of movies don't pass that test. And I don't know if Dope would pass that test because every female is there to either be ogled at or to fulfill some sexual fantasy.
Yeah, but it's a teenage boy. It's coming from his brain. I mean, I don't expect them to be like, you know, talking
I'm not saying this would be sexist because there's a great lesbian character and the characters are mostly three-dimensional to an extent. I'm just saying there's some flaws in this movie. I enjoyed it. I liked it a lot. I just can recognize that this movie is not perfect.
My biggest problem with it is like the sanctimonious lecture there at the end, which I didn't really...
Austin Jacoby?
But I felt like it was kind of like a sucker punch. When he was looking at the screen, going, so what if I'm black? I'm like, dude, I'm fine with you being black. Yeah. I never had a problem.
Why are you looking at me?
Kind of like, it was almost like a sucker punch. Like they snuck up on you because they're like, it was playful and almost trivializing, like I said at times, with like the heinous nature and crimes that take place in the bottom in Inglewood.
The bottom.
But, and, you know, it was fun and light paced, even though the serious subject matter. But that, at the end, it gets all serious. And it was almost like that guy who's like your buddy at the bar. And then he gets all serious with you and he's not your buddy at all. Like he's just trying to get you to open up, and then when you give your views,
then he yells
the hammer down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I've done that to people. It's fun.
So you like Dope, right?
Yeah, I liked it quite a bit. I did not like it as much as Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, which I kind of feel like they're similar and
they're similar in structure, in
scope, and style as well. Yeah.
I agree. I think both movies are good, a little bit flawed. Dope more so. I still like Dope, and I would recommend
you
guys
see
it.
Dope had like 9 endings. Like all these storylines kept wrapping up and wrapping up.
There's almost a little too much story.
Too much going on at times, which it is rarely a bad thing. My bad thing usually is there's not enough going on. You know,
we end up talking a lot more We end up criticizing movies a lot more that we like, because movies that we don't like, kind of move on. It's like, all right, next. But like a movie like this, we like, and it's like, oh, there were problems here and there, but I recommend everyone
see Inside Out. Like I felt like I was really hard on Inside Out, which is a great movie. It's a great movie, but you know, I was expecting. What did you say?
I
was going to say one last thing about the dope there. I don't remember. Oh, a little bit like an urban jungle adventure. Like a Huck Finn, like a classic adventure, right?
I agree with that. I agree with that.
Just with a much different backdrop than what we're used to seeing. All right. My final movie, which is one, I think it was on both of our top five most anticipated summer movies. Oh. This is a documentary, and it is. Where's my notes? I don't even know the name of it.
Come on, buddy.
The Wolfpack, Brent.
Oh, that was on, I think, my Sundance top five.
Pack. No, it was, I don't believe it. 6.9 on the old IMDb.
Only had a device that could tell me.
Taken straight off of IMDb, I'll just read it. It says, locked away from society in an apartment on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, the Angelou brothers learn about the outside world through the films that they watch.
Yes.
Nicknamed the Wolfpack, see full summary.
You don't have to read every word. It was on a summer preview, I told you.
I know, Brian. I know.
Damn it.
Directed by Crystal Moselle. Directorial debut. She was gifted with glorious access to these, to this situation,
this
and happened to stumble
clan
upon a very lucky situation, which, like we've said numerous times, documentaries, they got to be lucky.
Yep.
They got to be well made and lucky. I got to have some strokes of luck. She definitely had some luck because she lived, I guess, in the building, and these five brothers, maybe six brothers and one little sister, all by the same woman, all the same mom, same dad. You don't see the dad for the first half of the movie. I thought he was dead for a while. Very mysterious. Talk about him in the past tense a lot. But the deal is these brothers are all close in age, and they're all very close siblings, because literally they've been close their entire lives because they have not left this apartment. Other than, like, it was kind of missold to me. I had it in my head that it was like a real life Dogtooth. For those of you who don't remember, it's that great Grecian film, Dogtooth, where it's about the family that has a dad that keeps them. He's like an island. The family is an island of one. And right. He keeps them all in the house. Isolated. They're not allowed to leave the house.
From society.
Much like The Village. But this family, they would leave like once a year. They go out on a small little excursion and then come right back, always, you know, with their parents. And they watch nothing but DVDs and movies, primarily like Tarantino movies. They love them, and they recreate them with their little video cameras, and they make fucking crazy props with like cardboard that they get from cereal boxes and duct tape. I mean, these kids have a lot of time on their hands. Their mom is their teacher. Mm-hmm. They're all homeschooled, obviously, and they all seem fairly well adjusted considering their makeup. I mean, they have to be in this small, little, cramped, horrible apartment. I can only imagine what it smelled like in there.
That's what I would guess. They have like kind of like normal, well adjusted.
They all have very long hair, and they're a little bit socially awkward. But for the most part, especially the oldest brother, like, you know, he's very forthcoming, and he's explaining how things are. And I used to be mistaken for somebody from the East Coast, the way I talked, and I guess my attitude, and this and that when I was growing up. And I think it's from
constantly
watching
wearing Pittsburgh things,
watching so many De Niro movies. Like, I think I even had a bit of a douchey, like a New York accent with something. I think I still have it a little bit because I watched so many goddamn De Niro movies in my formative years. These kids are like that, but times 30, 40. One of the kids has like an English accent. It makes no sense.
I was going to posit that maybe they learned like how to just interact socially just from watching movies.
That's how they learn to interact. Huh. And then it becomes a little more interesting when the oldest boy says, fuck this, I'm going out.
Nice.
Because dad was out getting food, which he would take 3-4 hours. So the kid puts on a handmade Michael Myers mask because he didn't want his dad to recognize him. Not thinking things through.
Right.
They didn't have footage of this, unfortunately. So I'm not really giving anything away. And you just kind of got a picture in your mind when you see the movie because they just explain what happens. But he walked into like a liquor store with his fucking mask on. Then he walked into a bank.
Uh-huh.
Like he was exploring the world. Like his own little neighborhood.
Yeah, probably not the best.
But had the
walked
mask
into a federal building.
He's really lucky that he didn't get shot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Walking into. So it was a little sloppy, a little meandering. I was watching my watch there towards the end. I'm like, I get it. I understand. You know, and the kids were good, but they weren't great. And then the mom was really far out there. She was like a hippy dippy mom. But it's an interesting movie. You don't have to rush out and see it in the theaters. The Wolfpack is an interesting movie. It's tragic. It's
The number four most anticipated movie this summer. Should I see it?
That this could happen. Yeah, because of your position on this problem, you should definitely see it. And I'd like to hear your insights on it. It just, like, it kind of comes up quite a bit on the show. This documentary feels like it was a little bit too in love with its access.
Right.
Like you brought up about films in the past.
Citizen Four, for example.
I would have liked it to have been tighter, a tighter film, a little snappier editing. And it felt very festival-y.
All right.
You know?
Coming up next,
Wolfpack.
Wolfpack. You saw it. Was that one playing in Westwood? Or you saw it in, like, or did you see it?
This little sister who I think is special. I think her name is Vishnu. And then there's
Vishnu's like a Hindu god.
Krishna. They're all Hare Krishnas. So.
Oh.
Dark Knight kind of spawned on his escape, though. That's interesting. It's interesting because, like, him watching Dark Knight kind of like, you know what? I could bail.
Okay.
I could go out on my own. I could do it. I'm inspired by Dark Knight, Batman.
Coming up next, top 5 movies about summer. Appropriate, Anderson.
What is?
It's our top 5 summer movies episode.
That's right.
And plenty of summer items being purchased on the Amazon.com click through.
The old Anderson Amazon Brian.com. Clicky through there.
Yeah, people are buying things like air conditioners, mini room air conditioners, portable air conditioners being purchased. Heating up, got to buy air conditioners. Kindles being purchased, got to read your books by the pool.
By the air conditioner.
By the air conditioner. Mm-hmm. What is this here? Inflatable kayak was purchased. A pop-up tent. Dome to go tent. Someone got shocks for their Jeep. I always get that. I think shocks for your Jeep.
It's a handyman shocks. Right there. It's a handyman. I'm shocked that he got that.
Shocked. Someone bought 20.
Or she might have got it. Might have been a girl.
I didn't say he said someone got
the
20.
Fucking rectal test has got me all freaked out over here.
Rectal. I feel like test. That's, you can't call it that. Some person, he or she, purchased 20 new batteries for Apple MacBook. Look, if your Apple MacBook's probably a guy.
Wait a minute. 20
batteries? New batteries. It's obviously for their office or something.
Like everyone's got a backup battery, so they can't
that's
use
right.
that old.
Back
the battery ran out. Excuse. Get to work. Push.
Someone, probably a guy, purchased 2 external hard drives, 5 terabytes each. That's
wow,
a lot of,
that's 10 terabytes
that's
total,
of,
guys.
Terabytes,
I think. Did I create
one? An artisan salami 2-pack from Columbus Salami, a Fitbit Flex, a rubber colon tube.
What
for
Ryan?
That's for enemas. Enemas.
Testing anal.
And for the other end, someone
what
please don't do that.
That.
Please don't
about?
Do that. That's you.
That
please
is not me. You. Look at my dead phone. Right in front of me.
And on the other end,
that
someone
was in
got
my brain.
Some Trojan condoms.
Did you hear that too? Or is that just me?
I heard a ding.
Okay.
Computer, Logan.
What in God's name, Logs?
You get the text messages to your computer now.
No, because I'm not like a 15-year-old hipster tech geek.
No, when I said you, I meant everyone in general does now.
Okay.
Speaking of
including my computer.
Anderson,
what is tweet?
Off air, you were asking me about our dog, and someone bought a wireless pet fence, an invisible fence, keep the dog from roaming.
I don't either.
Like all the dog.
Especially if you live by like a busy boulevard, I'm not gonna trust some kind of. I gotta see my shit, kind of like God. You know, I need to see. You know what I mean?
Sure, give me some evidence that there exists a fence.
Like love, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Don't believe.
Yeah, please. I really hope you're right. Was your wife there, by the way? Oh yeah, I saw her briefly.
She was sitting with me.
Anti chafe balm. That's for like runners. It's like a deodorant stick, but you rub it all over yourself and you're running.
I have it.
Chafe.
I know what it is. Yes.
Well, most people don't. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, it's for chafing.
Well, yeah, but
I'm an adventurer now, Brian. I adventure.
Like hiking.
No, like walking around hillsides, looking at stuff that I've never seen before.
With sticks and, but not hiking.
No,
it's different.
That's right.
Finally, someone purchased a treadmill. Thank you for buying all your big ticket items and your small ticket items and everything in between through us. Anderson, movies.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on.
That's why I went to get the phone and everything. I was all prepared, and then I forgot because I started looking up some stupid movie your dad fucking texted you during the break. Here are the movies that are clicked through this and left.
Come on.
Get there. As soon as I pull them up on my phone, hold on. Oh, there they are. Oh, good. Nice. Like it. American Psycho was clicked through.
Great movie.
Speaking of the rectal test, I don't know if a woman should have directed that.
Why?
It was a very male movie. You know what I mean?
That's why she was great.
Interstellar is clicked through. Why in the world would you? Thanks for clicking through, but why? Why? John Wick. Leave that dog alone, motherfucker. You know who stars in John Wick? Who's the bad guy? It's a Lily Allen's brother. Reek.
Oh, is that who it is?
There's a great song by Lily Allen, if you like Lily Allen at all, called Alfie. and it's all about her brother.
Is he
who's a stoner who doesn't get out of bed and plays video games all day? It's a great little song.
Does he play the Russian who gets angry at him for no good reason?
Yep.
Does he want to sell him his car?
Yep. that's Lily Allen.
Hey, nice car. It's not for sale. And you're dead.
That's Alfie Allen, and he plays Reek in Game of Bones. Sorry for that diatribe. My Own Private Idaho is click through. You know what? That's a movie I've not seen in probably 10, 15 years.
I've not seen it
it's
ever.
So good. Oh.
Ever. Easy, buddy.
Vanilla
Sky. Is there some case going
through.
On?
Vanilla Sky. Willow was click through. We were just talking about little people during the break. Willow. Chappie was click through. Oh, fuck the yes. Despicable Me, too. You know what? I feel like I'm missing out on
this
Despicable Me.
This whole Minions thing? I don't know.
I'm kind of jealous of everyone that's on board because I have no knowledge, not seen it.
I think kids like him because they talk funny.
Ex Machina already available on HD and on DVD, and our faithful are buying, clicking through. Very smart. Goodfellas. Smart move. Everyone should own Goodfellas. Everyone should own a copy of Goodfellas. Inherent Vice and Max. What the fuck is Max?
Oh, funny story about that.
Is that the dog movie?
The dog movie's in theaters. That's the Adolf Hitler movie starring John Cusack, and I wonder if someone bought it for their kids.
No.
Yeah.
One of our listeners?
You would be shocked how many people are dumb enough to think like, oh, I'll just click through.
Our listeners aren't dumb, and many of them don't have kids.
Logan, back me up on this.
I don't think that.
There's dumb people in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think if somebody purchased it without looking at the cover art, they might accidentally buy it.
Here's where my mind goes. If I had to bet on what the purchase was, they were listening to another podcast that brought up both movies, and they became aware of the Max Adolf Hitler movie via listening to another movie podcast.
I love your optimistic outlook.
And then they click through ours because they like us more.
Okay, well, first of all, whoever you are, how dare you listen to another movie podcast?
Hey, why don't you send me an email and let me know why you bought Max,
but
so
secondly,
we can put this to rest.
Thank
I'd like
you for
to
clicking through and buying through us. We appreciate it. And
oh, wait.
What?
Thank you for the outpouring of people that got back to me about storyboard artistry.
This is not the time for this. This is not the time.
It's a perfect time because those people are probably listening to this all throughout the night. But thank you very much. I'm getting back to each of you one by one, and I've made my decision. You know who
thank
you are.
God.
You know who you are, Matt. You know who you are. All right.
Back to the show. Hi, I'm Harriet Tubman. That's right, Harriet Tubman from the Underground Railroad. And you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBryan.com.
They're telling you your window of opportunity is closing.
Well, she looks like Amanda Seyfried.
You love her more than most, I think.
She's very pretty. Welcome back. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Appreciate it. And now some summer movies.
Movies about summer.
Movies involving summer, about summer, set in the summer.
About summer movies. About summer movies.
About summer
movies. All right, so here's my criteria.
What's your criteria?
I have to be able to put summer in front of a word to describe the movie.
Okay.
My number five. Works perfectly.
How many crossover are we having?
Two.
Okay, wow. Are you looking at my notes?
One. I think one.
You looking at my notes?
What do you think?
I'd say one.
My number five.
I'm going to look at my list.
If I had to put
maybe two.
A word after the summer to make it, that'd be school. Summer school, Brian.
What's the movie?
Summer School. The name of the movie? Summer School, Brian.
No!
Summer School! Cult classic, 1987. Cult classic. It's come up on a list before. I can't remember what list it was. I should have looked that up.
Top five Hawaiian shirt wearing teachers.
Directed by Carl Reiner, who also has a little cameo in this Summer School, 1987 Summer School. He was responsible for other big movies such as Oh God, The Jerk, and Fatal Attraction.
That's right.
Yes. And he also...
Wait, did he direct Fatal Attraction?
Yeah. He also produced this horrible thing called Rob. Ugh. What were you doing, Carl? Why would you do that?
That was the bottom of his career.
Worst thing he's ever produced. Anyways, Summer School stars...
Hold on.
Mark Harmon, right?
Here we go. Mark Harmon plays Freddie Shoup. He's the teacher. He's the cool guy teacher, Brian. Kirstie Alley. She plays Robin Bishop. Robin Thomas, that doesn't matter. Courtney Thorne Smith plays the hot little senior.
This is 1987 Courtney Thorne Smith, too.
Also known for Melrose Place, of course. And, of course, Dean Cameron as Francis Chainsaw Gremp, who also stars in Ski School. He was also played.
Text plays about 6 months after Summer School.
Dean Cameron also played Jeff Spicoli in the short-lived television version of Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Okay,
and he also plays Boss Bob in a movie called Everybody Dies, which I made last year. Yeah, Dean Cameron.
Notable.
One of my favorite actors I've ever worked with.
All right, Summer School. Do I need to see this? Is this one of those movies that you, like, you have to see when you're a certain age and enjoy?
It might not hold up. Here's Roger Ebert's take on it.
He said,
here's Roger Ebert. Roger Ebert gave the film a 1.5 star out of 4 stars. Gave it 1/2 of a star. And he called it listless.
Not one half of one star.
Listless, leisurely, and unspirited. Hey, fuck yourself. How about that? I love this movie. It's completely absurd. Okay, so like these students, a handful of misfits learn, like, essentially on the last day of school, hey, you guys aren't graduating. You have to go to summer school. Like the last day of school. Like they're all stoked talking about what they're going to do for the summer. And then, oh no, we're letting you know right now that you got to come back here on Monday. And then the teacher that was supposed to, that was like committed to teach the summer school, he wins the lottery. So he comes and pretty much says, fuck you. And it's Carl Reiner actually plays the teacher.
Nice.
And then the principal is just seen wandering around, a class just let out, right? And everyone's like, yeah, school's out for summer, woo! And the principal is seen wandering around just like looking for a replacement. And he finds Mark Harmon, who's like packing a surfboard into a school guy car,
nice
convertible, because he's about to head off to Hawaii for the summer and surf all summer.
Is that why he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt?
Yeah, okay. And he says, hey, you have to teach this class.
Nice.
Just because he caught him in the parking lot. So he teaches. There's some moral lessons, but for the most part, it's a fun little movie, and I really enjoyed it. I saw it numerous times growing up. I think I told you my brother's name was Chainsaw growing up.
Did not tell me that.
That was his nickname for a while. And here goes this. Brian, a remake on the horizon during a Q&A, Brian, with Dean Cameron. He suggested he'd be open for a sequel or possibility and asked who would play Chainsaw. He said Shia LaBeouf. Ooh, Shia LaBeouf.
Stunt casting.
In early 2012, Brian, Adam Sandler's production company, Happy Madison, signed on for the remake. So look forward to that.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe Dean Cameron could play the teacher. Look at that.
Number 5 for me.
Kind of like how Ferris Bueller ended up playing the teacher.
That's right.
All those years later, in Election.
That's right.
A movie that's been banned. So I have respect for the ban, and I don't put it on my list.
Can I put on a list?
No.
Number 5 for me. Up until the last minute, this was going to be the way, way back.
Oh, no. What are you looking at my notes for?
Yeah. I'm not looking at anything.
Oh, the way, way back.
Uneven
movie.
I had it, yeah, very uneven. And while I enjoyed parts of that movie, that's another one, like Dope, and I don't think it's as good as Dope, where it's very flawed, even though I think it's overall a good movie. Very flawed. And I'm thinking, why am I going to put this movie I don't even remember that much, aside from a few couple scenes here and there? I chose a movie that I can't even endorse as good, yet I have to have it on there because it's, for me, the quintessential summer camp movie, horror movie, Sleepaway Camp.
What? Number 4 for me. No. Woo!
High five.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, Sleepaway Camp. Number 5.
Look at that.
Oh, number 4.
So yeah, you put summer in front of camp.
Summer camp.
You have Sleepaway camp. It's a summer camp movie, Brian.
Because you know what? The summer camp genre, at least in terms of horror, it's a part of film history. It has to be acknowledged on the show.
This movie is ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Not a good movie.
Hey, it's streaming on Hulu Plus if you have not seen Sleepaway Camp.
Have you seen Sleepaway Camp?
Oh. Yes, you have? No. No, what the fuck? How are you working on the show?
I wasn't born until 5 years later.
I didn't see it until last year.
I was going to say.
I just saw it last year.
I saw it last year as well. I saw it with Christy and two friends at our house and watched it. I think it was on Halloween and we laughed our asses off.
This became fairly notable in a lot of film-loving circles just last year because of former guest of the show, Paul Scheer.
Yep.
His podcast, How Did This Get Made? They did a full expose on Sleepaway Camp, and that's how it got back in the zeitgeist last year. But yeah, we both watched it last year. We talked about it at length. Angela is a character you will never forget. One of the most shocking endings, most unforgettable endings you will ever see in any movie. Hilarious and wrong.
Memorable.
And memorable. And this movie is a bad, it's not a well-made movie,
but
all in all the best ways.
Yeah. Delightfully bad.
Delightfully bad. It really is. It's a slasher movie of the highest order. And actually, I had a bit of a cult following and like beat out Amityville 3D in New York that whole summer.
Really?
I don't know how I didn't hear about this until just last year. It's kind of. Are you watching it? Don't watch it, guys. Don't watch the end on YouTube. Don't. Do they show it? Do they show it?
We've got over this on the show before.
Okay. The music is so horrifying. It's like creepy, but stupid.
Is this the sound she makes?
So horrible.
Remember after the last time we talked about this, I sent you both a gif of that scene?
Yes. There's something really creepy about it.
Oh, exceptionally creepy about it.
Okay.
And also the fact there were like four or five of these movies.
There was like yeah, I have no interest four. In watching the rest. I have no interest.
No, not
82% at all. 82% on Rotten Tomatoes.
No.
Yeah, but only 17 reviews. But 82%. Huh? Also known as Nightmare Vacation. Not nearly as catchy. No, no. Sleepaway, all one word, guys. Sleepaway Camp. It's worth checking out.
Yeah. That was your number four?
You don't get to see endings like that very often.
No, you don't.
I feel like I've talked too much.
Keep your notes hidden. I don't want to see your notes.
Ahead.
Number four for me. A movie I've only...
Oh, wait.
Let me ask you a question.
One more little nugget.
No. Let me ask you a question.
Series creator Brian Robert Hiltzik. He's the guy that made all of them and wrote them and directed them. Robert Hiltzik, he owns the rights to all Sleepaway Camp franchises, and which is
what a gold mine.
2013, Brian. Back in 2013, they started developing plans to reboot. No. I would see a remake of this. I would like to see how they do that last.
Do you think in the light of things that are happening with certain celebrities in the news that is in poor taste now?
No.
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 Okay.
I'm throwing it out there.
I'm asking the question.
No. I'm so. All right, I feel like we've said too much.
Let me ask you a question.
Oh,
how many of your movies take place in the 80s?
Counting the two that I just did, those are both 80s. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Four or five. Fuck me. Why four or five, Brian?
I think the 80s did summer well. I have three 80s movies and two, the other ones are from the early 90s.
Huh. Or maybe I was just more apt to watch a movie about the summer when I was a kid. I can't see myself rushing out to see a movie about summer right now. You know what I mean?
Maybe it meant more to us when we were kids. But you know what though? That doesn't make sense because two of my 80s movies I only saw recently.
Oh, you know what though? No, they don't make movies about summer anymore because of year round school.
Oh, really? Yes. Okay, well then I take that back. Number four movie I saw recently.
Not true at all.
I think you may have assigned it to me.
Go ahead.
On Golden Pond.
Oh yeah,
On
this is
Golden
a summer
Pond.
Movie. It's a summer movie.
This is a nostalgic sort of almost iconic vision of summer.
You know, can you put a word after summer to make this work?
Summer. Can I say family summer? Summer with family.
I guess.
Yeah, that's what I would say because it's you know, it's summer with the grandparents and maybe grandpa's a little hard to get through to at first.
A summer with family.
There you go. But you know, you find some common ground. You go fishing, and next thing you know, and your grandpa are best buds.
Just a glorious little movie.
It is a really sweet little movie. I think I streamed it. I should have looked up if it was streaming or not.
It puts you in a mind space that especially younger people are rarely in, and gives you an appreciation of the other generation and the great banter.
Odd coupling.
Great patter.
Yep. This is On Golden Pond we're talking about.
And it's streaming everywhere.
The kid and the grandpa make a great odd couple. So this top five we want to do. We haven't done top five odd couples.
I think we have. Maybe we haven't.
I like the default to no without even thinking.
Because I know that we did like
the
buddy
words,
films.
The words came out of your mouth without any thought. I think we have.
Are we hopping on to number three here?
Go for it.
You just did number three, yeah?
Number four was for me. Your four was Sleepaway Camp. So my number four.
You done two so far?
Yes.
On Golden Pond,
yes.
Sleepaway.
And Sleepaway.
Sleepy Weepy.
Very similar films.
Heist of Crimes.
Very similar films.
Here we go. Number three for me. This is where the putting the word after kind of gets a little challenging. Summer Chasing, Brian.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
Because that's what the movie's about.
Chasing Summer?
The word summer
I can go before or after.
Nope.
Yeah.
Summer Chasing, because the movie's about them chasing summer.
That's Chasing Summer.
Chasing Summer. Summer Chasing.
Is that the name of the film?
The Endless Summer, Brian. 1966.
This is a surfing movie. Isn't this all surfing footage? Is there an actual like plot?
No, no. It's just a documentary about surfing.
That's what I thought.
And it opened up the world to, literally opened up much of the world to surfing and vice versa. A lot of surfers saw these different parts of the world.
Right.
What they do is a guy named Bruce Brown set out, self-made filmmaker, started shooting stuff on Super 8, documented. He was in the Navy and he cruised around all these different parts of the world and he loved to surf and he always shot Super 8 stuff, taught himself to edit. Then he got a 16mm camera and he started shooting these little documentaries. His first one was Slippery Went Wet, Brian, 1958, I think. But he did this one, which kind of, for surfers, The Endless Summer is to hockey players what Slapshot is. Even though Slapshot's not a documentary. But interestingly enough, Slapshot was originally supposed to be a documentary.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So, Endless Summer,
this is the movie to me that's always on in South Bay bars. Whenever I'm hanging out.
Bruce Brown, he takes a couple of his buddies, surfing buddies, Mike Henson and Robert August, and they decided to say, you know what? If we had enough money, unlimited resources, and all the time in the world, we could theoretically go to wherever summer is in the world and always have summer. Yeah. So they spent an entire year going to various places such as Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Tahiti, and Hawaii, always just chasing summer.
Summer hopping.
Summer chasing, Brian. Nice. And it's 1966 documentary, and when you think of it that way, it's really like a loosely made fun documentary with humor, which I don't think was really being done at that time. Okay. I think documentaries were very stiff and sterile and all about teaching you about safe sex and the powers of drugs. You know what I mean? They had that very sterile, what's the stiff voiceover?
Instructional almost.
And Bruce does a voiceover on this. And I mean, a lot of the stuff that he says, they're talking about politically correct, I don't think that he'd get away with it. Probably wouldn't include in the film today, like where they're talking about the African natives and we didn't speak their language, so we just nodded and as they said, ooga booga, ooga booga, that kind of thing. It probably wouldn't fly. Yeah. But this is streaming on Instant, I think, everywhere. I actually had this on the background when I was doing a lot of my research, Brian. The theme, Endless Summer, is by...
I feel like I've seen this 10 times because it's always theme, in the background of Sharkies.
Theme to this Endless Summer is the Sandals. A little band called The Sandals put together the theme. But responsible, Brian, for surf and travel culture, which is an actual culture now. They credit this movie.
Sure.
With being kind of responsible for people bringing their boards places. It's really funny stuff. Like
I have a few friends who are really into surfing, and they love this movie.
When they first get to Africa, they're trying to explain to the taxi driver that they put the boards on the top of the car. We have rope. And the taxi driver was just not here.
Not having it.
Put it in the trunk, and it's just like hanging 15 feet out of the trunk, both boards. It just looked horribly dangerous. But it's fun. But it's perfect summer movie. If you're having a few people over, a background, you want something on the TV, put on the old Endless Summer.
Okay.
I don't think it's ever come up on a list there.
I don't think we ever talked about it.
It's a nice lazy watch. And it's beautiful, too. I mean, it's all shot. It's a rich, colorful film. It looks good.
Well done.
Yeah.
Number three for me. I feel like this will be in the listener's top five. It should be. We don't talk about Vacation that often. National Lampoon's Vacation. Do you have nostalgia for Vacation? Yeah. I feel like the movie you would have liked as a kid. Mm. Mm. 1983, directed by Harold Ramis, written by John Hughes before John Hughes was John Hughes.
Based on a short story?
No, I don't believe so.
Yeah, it was.
Was it?
Yeah.
Who's? John Hughes's?
God damn you! My number one!
Ah! I knew you liked this movie. I feel like Anderson talked about this before.
Love Vacation. Rust is the best.
We can table this for a later discussion, but... Yeah, hear about this movie? Hear about the remake?
I kind of want to see the remake because it's supposed to be Rusty growing up.
It is Rusty.
That.
I looked it up today. It is, in fact, Rusty.
I've been saying that, Brian. I don't know why you got to think
you looked
it
up. You know why I looked it up?
Because I watched the goddamn trailer.
Every time it comes up, you're like, it's supposed to be Rusty. I think it's supposed to be Rusty. Yes, it is, in fact,
No, I don't
Rusty.
Say I think it's supposed to be. It is Rusty. I saw the trailer, and once I realized, I thought it was going to be rehash with goddamn Chevy fucking Chase running around trying to recreate his old, like, this vacation, and I was furious. But he's just, like, bookended. He's in the beginning. In the end, I think, and it's Rusty growing up, played by
Ed Helms.
Yes, yeah. Thank you, Ed Helms.
I like the this is great images of images. Great note. My microphone okay? Everything all right here?
Yeah, all the levels sound a little bit off.
Crank,
a little off.
Yeah, crank, crank. The family roadster, the family road trip, crazy relatives, the theme park. It's all those great images of summer.
We might come back and talk. We will come back and talk about. A little more about Vacation, some fun facts, and
we don't talk about it on the show, Maria.
You know what? The new one, actually, I think it's supposed to be Rusty. It's like growing up.
Oh, really? Sure, now I gotta see it.
Fucker. All right, here we go.
Number three, or are we going to a break?
I already did three.
Come up next.
Endless Summer, Brian.
Endless Summer.
Endless Show, this
endless
is.
Endless Show. Yeah. Come up next. The Endless Show has an end. Baseball's in full swing, everybody, and you can be part of the action all season long at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. If you care even a little bit about fantasy sports and fantasy baseball, and you're like, well, it's the middle of the season, I don't want to draft a team, I miss it, forget it. You can draft a team every single day if you want. You can do multiple teams a day if you want to. Here's what you do, Anderson.
Yeah. Herd is DraftKings.com now and use promo code TFV to play for free in today's $10,000 fantasy baseball contest, Brian.
Indeed.
It's DraftKings.com, official partner of the Major League Baseball. It's official partner of the Major League Baseball. And Pete Rose still isn't in the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
Enter TFV for a free entry now at DraftKings.com.
That's DraftKings.com.
On this week's big podcast with Shaq, is Shaq a helicopter sports dad like Diddy?
In a few years, Sharif will have his opportunity to play college ball. Don't tell me that Shaq's going to end up being like Diddy, going after a coach and going out in handcuffs at practice.
You know what? I don't believe the media most of the time.
Speculation.
However,
right.
If somebody disrespects my son, I'm going to have to also get arrested. Any form of disrespect was going on, I'd probably have to go see the coach.
Oh, man.
I'd probably have to go see the coach.
You get arrested, this show gets canceled.
Listen, I know Ray Donovan. We'll be out in 5 minutes.
The Big Podcast with Shaq.
That's me. It's up right now at podcastone.com.
That's podcastone.com.
Yeah, welcome back. We're having a good time.
Brian, stop it.
We're having fun over here.
No, you're like an old man in a strip joint. Like an old rich like businessman who's like...
losing my tie.
Yeah, like for the first time in like years.
My jacket
years,
slung over my shoulder and rolled
like
up my sleeves.
Having a couple beers. Oh, we're having such a good time.
That bring us another round. Toots, slap her on the butt.
Christ.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, they always go too far. They don't know
how, my wife.
They don't know how to... What's going on with my mic? Logan, what's happening over there?
Trying to account for all the yelling and then whispering after.
Yeah, I'm a tough
That's
one.
That's a good
I know
answer,
that.
Actually. That's a solid answer.
I'm a tough one.
All right. Top two summer movies of all time. Any more crossover?
The cheese has slipped off the cracker, Brian.
Indeed.
Crossover. You already did my number one. No, I don't think so. Actually, this is a movie that's somehow been eluding the show for years.
Oh, shit. My number one is one that's been eluding the show.
Really?
Well, in terms of... this is not a movie that I believe has ever made my list, and I can't think it's ever made yours.
I don't think it's even been brought up. It's a classic. It's a great movie. I have fond memories of it, but obviously not enough for it to have come up on a list before this. And it probably could have deserved a spot.
Oh, dear.
I'm talking about Breaking Away.
No, thank God. I don't like that movie.
Why don't you like Breaking Away?
Everything you said is true. People consider it a classic.
It is.
You have fond memories of it.
Yes.
I watched it recently, and man, oh, man, it was dull.
Really?
No, I found it very dull. I didn't find it to be awful, like turn this off. It's just like, all right, well, that was it.
I watched the trailer.
I like the Italian stuff. I like the stuff with the dad.
It's streaming for free on the old YouTube. Paul it's Dooley. On YouTube for whatever reason. Okay. They're allowing it to be up there in HD format, so you can watch it if you like on your Apple TV there. This is a movie, 1979, so it's not just on the cusp, right before 1980, Brian. That's how math works. And about... Brian, stop fake typing. That's my old gag. You stole it because now I don't have a computer and you do. I don't like this new setup.
Sorry, buddy. I'll get your computer.
This stars Dennis Christopher as the lead character. He's one of the few actors' names that you're not going to recognize because it also stars Dennis Quaid. Daniel Stern in his first role in a movie. Stern. Yeah.
How about that?
Look at that.
He was in Diner 2 years later.
And Jackie Earle Haley.
Yeah, that's right. Kelly Leak.
As Moocher. Kelly Leak from Bad News Bears, which could have been on the list. Bad
yes,
News
it could
Bears.
Have.
It's primarily, but it's more a baseball movie than a summer movie, even though baseball is synonymous with summer.
I'm with you.
They play the Cutters, or like they're kind of like the greasers of the town. They're the blue collar. They live in a college town
in
Indiana.
Destined to work in the quarry.
And the white collar fucking kids in their neighborhood look down on them and call them Cutters. You guys are Cutters. And the lead character, Dave Stoller, played by the not really well-known Dennis Christopher, he is one of these Cutters, and his buddies are the actors that I just named. They just graduated high school. It's all about coming of age, figuring out what their future is going to be. It's summer break. If I had to put like a word before the summer, after summer. Summer break. It's graduation, coming of age. And the lead character is obsessed with bike racing. He's very into many things, but bike racing is one of his main things.
And Italian culture.
Italian bike racing.
Right.
And it's about living out your dreams and the 500 bicycle race, the little 500 bicycle race was actually based on a true life thing that actually exists out there. So there's some history there as well. And I remember really, now it's been 15 years since I've seen this. And for whatever reason, it just keeps not coming up. But I remember the Corey scene so well. I remember really being moved by when I was a younger person.
Is that where they're diving in and doing the swimming and all that stuff? Yeah.
Dennis Quaid was great in this movie.
Didn't react to it this way.
And maybe, but it was up for Best Picture, won Best Original Screenplay.
Carolla loves this movie. My dad loves this movie. I feel like a lot of people love this movie. I just didn't feel the way that you feel.
Maybe you were chemoing.
Maybe I was chemoing.
But you know, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it since I was like a teenager. So, you know, I watching the trailer, reading about it, reading the full thing, it all kind of came back.
Sure.
And enough to the point that I feel like it's deserved of being number two, because it really is like the summer for these four characters.
Okay.
It's like their last summer as children, essentially. You know,
number two for me.
Last summer before they cross into manhood. Right?
I would also call it summer break. In fact, maybe a little bit controversy. Although I define summer break for students when that bell rings. Summer break. Dazed and Confused. Dazed and Confused. Number two. Summer break. Bell rings. They're going to be seniors. Although some kids are going to be seniors, some kids are already seniors, some kids are just becoming freshmen. Remember the hazing the young girls?
Ben Affleck really wanted to haze the young boys.
Yeah, Affleck was all about the whacking.
I still think of Ben Affleck as that character.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
In real life.
He's getting divorced, you know.
Is he?
Yeah.
Again?
They announced that.
That makes sense. She seems really sweet.
Dazed and Confused.
I've always liked her.
Richard
now I can like her again. That's really cool. They're getting divorced.
She's out there for you to like.
Yeah, because every time I want to like her and she's good in things, then I'm like, but she's with that dude.
This captures a sort of magical last day of school. How great was the last day of school? Remember the last day of school?
Oh, yeah, it was glorious.
No, I mean the last day. I mean, like, the last day of school for the year.
You count down, like, week out. You know, there are only 17 more. I'd be in the
people
shower.
People had their 1 foot out the door.
17 more days in the shower before I'm done. And when you're a little kid, like, summer was an eternity.
I know.
Like, you had plans. You
like, this stretches on for a good percentage of my life.
Yeah.
Three months is, like, a portion of your life.
And then you go back to school, and it felt like, wow, it's been years since I've been here.
Yeah.
Like,
you see people,
they looked all
Who
different.
Are these people?
Yeah. New clothes. Yeah. I don't recognize you anymore because you were the kid with the fucking shitty blue shirts.
People always had the haircut and it was cut and you could see that they got summer tan.
Yeah,
over.
Yeah.
It's like they
and their parents
tan.
Made them get a cut right before they went back.
Right.
Except for yours, they didn't care because there wasn't.
They couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Like, when was the last time you had a haircut? I was like 3 years ago.
You got a hair thin.
That's right.
Over the summer. All right.
Dazed and Confused, number two. It's just that perfect moment of the summer when it's just there right on top of you. The bell rings. I mean, the whole day of that last day of school, your foot out the door. You're ready to go, ready to burst.
Last time Dazed and Confused came up, I think it was plot-free movies, right? Top five plot-free movies.
Yeah, it was.
Number one for me. I already talked about Vacation. I never called it National Lampoon's Vacation. That's wordy, confusing to me.
Vacation.
1983, the story of the Griswolds going from Chicago to Wally World, Brian. This is based on a John Hughes short story called Vacation 58, directed by Harold Ramis, which Brian already said. A lot of this has already been covered. This movie stars Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, who's fantastic in this movie, Anthony Michael Hall, Dana Barron, Randy Quaid again, Brian, John Candy.
There he is.
And
wait, no, Dennis Quaid was talking about earlier.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Brothers. Imogene Coca.
Oh, she's the grandma.
As Aunt Edna.
She was in a car crash and like broke her face.
She had a stroke on the set of this one.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
And then had to like relearn all of her lines. Now, she's dead. Most everyone has seen this movie, or at least they're familiar with it.
Yeah.
She dies on the she plays like Aunt Edna, who's just a horribly angry, mean woman. She dies. They put her on the roof of the car because they had a dead body
in the car with them.
Right. So they have her wrapped in tarp. And I was reading about this movie, and I guess in the original script, they shot it. Like, you can see like her hands move a little bit, suggesting she's still alive.
Oh, no.
And they're like, no, that's too much. That's too bad. Can't do that.
That's good stuff, actually.
So Wally World was actually shot, as many people local out here know, in Southern California, at Six Flags. I mean,
that's right.
It's
Magic Mountain.
Obviously Six Flags. And I learned that the parking lot scene, the initial scene where they get there, that's Santa Anita.
That's
always kind of confused me because I knew, you know, as somebody who's familiar with the area.
Well, probably because it's very, very, very unlikely they're going to find a daytime when there's an empty parking lot at Six Flags.
No, it's pretty much all the time because it's only open in the summer and spring break.
Six Flags?
Yeah, that's closed year round. I mean, it's closed most of the year.
You're shitting me.
I don't think it was back then, but it is now. It's barely ever open. You know why? Too many homies.
It doesn't make a dangerous
place. Lots of gang fights. Yeah, a lot of gang fights.
I hear a lot of gang activity going on there.
Mm-hmm. Fatos Locos Forever. Was that a summer movie?
You ever go, what?
Bought those locals forever. What blood in, blood out. No, that's a. That's
you ever
a
go to a Hurricane Harbor?
Years.
Hurricane Harbor.
No. What do I want? AIDS. I'm not going in there. You don't go into like a
yes,
water park.
Yes, no
you know what
question.
I've always wanted to do
yes,
though
no
is question. Take E or Molly. That kids call it now. E. They called it X in my day. Okay, but I've always wanted to do like a little Molly.
How about some
and
Lily?
Go to a water park.
How about some Lily?
Oh, you know how great that would feel.
How about some Lily?
Like your body's a giant like a penis, and the water park is like just a massive vagina.
You're a big sponge being used to clean all the dishes.
What?
No, like a sponge, like going down cleaning all the dishes.
Yeah, you're making it gross. Okay, oh, right. That was my number one vacation. Sorry. Summer vacation is what it would be to sum it up, right? Summer vacation.
Another movie that doesn't get brought up nearly enough on this show is my number one.
Yes, you've said that.
I've never made a list of mine. I don't know if it's made a list of yours. You ever talk about What About Bob?
Yes, this is on my also rants because yes. It's not as much of a summer movie as it is about
so?
The relationship between...
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you would not define it first as a summer movie.
Right, but I love this fucking movie.
And
it's
it takes
come
place
up on
in
a
the
list.
Summer.
It's come up on a list.
Not on any of mine. But What About Bob is directed by Frank Oz from 1991, written by Tom Schulman. He wrote Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and Dead Poets Society, a wildly overrated movie. What do you what's
I like Dead Poets.
I do too. It's one of those overrated but still good. Like,
I
like
saw
flawed
it
but good.
When it came out when I was a kid, and I was blown away by its message.
Yeah, if you're
and
a kid,
I really enjoyed it. And
lots of cliches. Lots of melodrama.
I've never gone back to read. Maybe it doesn't hold up.
Some great scenes with Ron Williams in the classroom, but some fucking ridiculous shit.
Now, let's go back to What About Bob, because I don't like movies with punctuation in the title. That upsets me. Mm. It's a question mark. Right, throws me off.
It is a question, though. Well, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Should have Wolf? Been called Bob, or like more of Who's Just
the
Bob.
The Informant. But
I love Richard Dreyfuss in this movie. Mm. I love him, and I love Bill Murray, and I'm on the fence with Bill Murray a lot of the time. I think Bill Murray gets a pass. I think a lot of people can just look at Bill Murray on the screen and laugh and think that he just... Bill, like that new trailer that's out for that movie where he goes over to Afghanistan...
Have not seen.
Hmm. You know what I'm talking about? No. He's like a rocker. Goes over to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
He's just doing that Bill Murray thing. And he's singing like Smoke on the Water with like some kind of... He just takes over the role. And he's so Bill Murray. But he was great in this role.
He was.
He was so fucking... I'm sorry. I'm talking about your movie.
No, he was great in this role. He played Bob. He was I don't know what his actual problem. He had many neuroses.
Baby
many
steps.
Problems. Many
baby
right.
steps.
That's one of my all-time favorite scenes. When Dr. Leo Marvin first meets him and he gives him his book. It's like, Bob, there's a revolutionary new book out. Where is it? And it's a whole fucking shelf of his book.
That's all he has.
Ah, there it is. He pulls
Richard
it off the
Dreyfuss
shelf.
Dreyfuss is so great in this movie.
I know. I don't like Dreyfuss a lot of the time. He was perfect in this movie.
Because you know why? He's an unlikable person. But he's supposed to be in this.
I think you're right.
He's supposed to be.
It's great. Julie Haggerty is the
she
wife.
She is great. Oh, yeah. Everyone's great.
His kid's name
kids
is Sigmund.
Awesome.
His kid's name is Sigmund.
This is, you know what? I think this came up on my top five list, Unraveling. Character Unraveling.
Okay.
I think it was Dreyfuss. Yes, it was. I played clips too.
It's an honorable mention for me for that. Where he ties him up.
I'm
some sort of radical new therapy. Yes, it is, Bob. Yes, it is.
I must see What About Bob right now.
It's pretty
oh my funny. God, I love it. Is it streaming?
Logan, can it be streamed?
Is it streamed?
Can I stream .it?
This is way, What About Bob? Way better than my entire list combined. I'm in love with What About Bob. I must watch it tonight.
It's pretty great. Oh, I love it. When they talk with the sock puppets, he has a conversation with her, his daughter.
This is the last time I think I really enjoyed Bill Murray. I know that that's not a popular thing to say. People love their Bill Murray. He just
What about
Bill
Kingpin?
Well,
you don't
about
like Kingpin?
Kingpin?
You don't like Kingpin.
Not streaming, but it is on Showtime. So if you have Showtime, you can set your DVR.
I've had Showtime since Dexter sucked. Does Showtime have anything relevant?
They have an app, but it's not on as many platforms as HBO. So
is it called Show Me Now?
I think it's like Showtime Anytime or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Showtime is it right now?
All right, there we go. What's the listener talk about? God, What About Bob, Brian? That is such a fun.
It is. It's really good.
And I didn't. You know what? I saw that in theater when I was too cool for school.
Did it break you down?
Didn't like it that
no.
much. Didn't like it that much. Saw it like.
Remember the neighbors that hated him?
A year and a half, two years later,
they cheered when his house blew up.
Brian,
well, I didn't say when it happened. So you're the one who's making it worse. You're the one who's making it worse.
You slurred it, so I'm gonna let it slide. But like a year and a half later, I saw it. I remember the night perfectly. Like that's how much I enjoyed this movie. I remember the night. Like my parents were out of town. I had a girlfriend over there. My best friend was there trying to sleep with my girlfriend. I was annoyed with all of them, and I went in the other room.
What's annoying about that?
And I just flipped on like the HBO or whatever, and it was just started. I'm like, you know what? I need like a comedy or something. And I sat there and laughed my balls off. Well, I think they were trying to hook up in the other room. Not. She was defending him off because he was a horny little bastard. And I'm just like, hey, honey, come watch What About Bob? Fuck you, Mark. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Put him on blast.
Fuck you, Mark Dobbs. True story. True story.
I'd love it.
He's like, hey, you mind if I bang Melissa? I'm like, she's my girlfriend. Yes, I would mind that.
At least he asked.
All right, here's that what was the night that I enjoyed. What about Bob?
Here's what the listeners had to say on Twitter and Facebook.
Number five. Oh, come on.
Check, check, check. There we go. Number five, Jaws.
Yeah.
It's definitely about summertime, and it wouldn't work without summer.
Number four is Meatballs.
Never saw Meatballs.
Meatballs is like dirty to me, just because I think when I was a kid, I wasn't allowed to watch. One of the few films I wasn't allowed to watch.
Wow.
Strangely, that and I don't know.
Number three, the Way Way Back.
Yeah, almost made my list. Good, I'm glad that it made the list.
The Way Way Back was just, I didn't buy the chemistry between any of the characters. And then I learned after watching it and having that problem that like they all, like, they didn't get any time to rehearse or anything. They just had to like do their thing immediately. And I'm that makes sense.
It kind of shows. It's a flawed movie. I still think it's good, but it's problems.
Oh, Hard Bodies. I got caught like with my buddy sneaking into Hard Bodies, which is another one of those like summer camp, like campy movies.
Boobies bouncing.
And I got caught. This big, huge dude. He's like, you can't go in there, boy. And I'll never forget. Now, Hard Bodies. Yeah, he was an Australian man. And every time I see Hard Bodies, I just feel like a pervert little kid.
Number two is Summer School.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Love that.
And the number one.
You've never seen Summer School?
No.
What's the matter with you?
Should I?
Yes.
The number one movie movie about summer as voted on by our listeners is The Sandlot.
The Sandlot?
Yeah, Sandlot's a great movie. I don't know why you got to have problems, Brian. Maybe it's because you're a horrible, horrible human being.
Oh, that's it.
How could you? First of all, Sandlot doesn't belong on my list because it's more about baseball, much like Bad News Bears. Mm. But it's a fucking golden movie, Brian. Gold Star.
The nickname.
Top 25 all time.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, you like Benny the Jet, the kid named after the Elton John song that came 40 years later?
What is this, just your way of saying I'm familiar with the movie? I even know the character's nickname.
Benny the Jet?
Mm-hmm.
Why the fuck is he Benny the Jet?
Just, I saw there was a picture of Squints, and it's just that giant shit-eating grin with those big glasses. Oh my God, such great characters, Brian. I've probably seen that movie more than any other movie too. I've said it before because when I worked at the video store, I just played it on a loop.
Sandlot all the time.
I'd see like two or three times in a shift.
Also Rans.
A ton. Little Fugitive. Almost went with this one. This is the movie that we discovered back in the Ace days. The Little Fugitive. It's free on Amazon and Instant Prime. Well, it's the same thing. It's free on Amazon Instant Prime if you got Prime. And it's about that little boy who thinks that he killed his brother and he runs away and he goes and he's like, it's directed by three people, that famous female photographer.
Anna Leibovitz?
Rectal. The rectal scale.
The rectal test.
But he goes to Coney Island because he's like running away from home. He's this little kid and it's just such a, like, it's almost like a documentary. It's a beautiful little movie, The Little Fugitive. I would check that out. Grease, Taking Woodstock, which you maybe
watched. No, Grease takes place during school.
It's right after school. It's during the summertime. Summer 11.
No, it's not. They came back for summer break.
It starts during school.
Well, then it's not on my list. Hey, it's not on my list. Doesn't matter.
I wish it made your list.
The Heat of the Night, Brian. All summertime. They're all sweating throughout. Mud. That's a summer movie.
Is it?
Yeah. Mm. Kids are on break.
Okay.
You guys going to give me shit here?
No.
I don't think of it as a summer movie.
No, I know. That's why I didn't make it. Look at Golden Pond right there. It's on Fuckflix too, guys. Golden Pond. Heavyweights. Hilarious. Heavyweights is actually funny.
Heavyweights is one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, good kid.
Wow.
Rear Window takes place over the summertime. Caddyshack. Right. Caddyshack's a summer movie, but it's more of a golf movie. Jaws. Y Tu Mamá También. Yeah. But I think of other things when I think of that. Yeah. Stand By Me has just come up, but that's on Fuckflix too, guys, if you want to watch a little Stand By Me for the summertime. Summer of Sam, one of the only time a Spike Lee movie's ever been mentioned on this program, but Summer of Sam is all about...
The Son of Sam Killer
in New York. And Adrian Brody plays like a punk rock dude with some big spikes. That's not a terrible move. Do the Right Thing. Another Spike Lee movie. Falling Down. Summertime, Brian.
That's right. Hot.
Takes place in one day. 12 Angry Men.
That's right.
Summertime movie. Very hot and sweaty. That's on Instant Prime too. You can watch that one. As well as Dog Day Afternoon. That is a summer bank heist movie. Have we done heists yet?
We have. I think that was on my list.
I think that it would be on there. Good one.
American Graffiti was very close to making my list, as was documentary Jesus Camp, where they go to the camp.
I didn't
and,
like that.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, I love Jesus Camp.
It was just creepy.
That's why I loved it.
Yeah.
And Friday the 13th was got some consideration. Did you say Stand By Me? You did, didn't you?
Yeah, it's on my also rave.
I thought about Friday the 13th, but then Sleepaway Camp took that spot.
Carl Reiner's worst produced thing in the planet, Rob, made Stand By Me.
And you're ashamed to love it.
Yes.
It was my number one movie you're ashamed to love.
My number one guiltiest pleasure.
Thank you guys for listening. Oh,
wait, we got to gamble first.
We got to gamble. Oh, by the way, that reminds me. You guys see that thing I forwarded? Someone tweeted us that they watched all of your disturbing movies from your top five list in one night.
Yes, you sent me that link to the Reddit.
The Reddit thing.
I read that. I was actually down hanging out with some of my camp friends, trying to have a little drink and food and enjoy myself. And I read the horrible comments people were making about me.
No.
Yeah, they were saying, I realized Anderson was sick, but now I didn't know. Listen, in my defense, those top five most disturbing movies, which still, I think it's the listener's favorite episode we've ever done, right? It's not even available anymore, but people like that one.
Yeah, we're supposed to redo it pretty soon.
We're supposed to do top five most disturbing scenes, which is going to be a lot of like a layover because crossover. Okay. But listen, I am not saying, hey, I made these movies. Check them out. I'm not saying, hey, I love these movies and I own them and I watch them all the time. Maybe one of them. And I'm picking them out. I'm exposing them as fucked up and disturbing. Yeah,
these disturbed you.
Yeah. So what is that? How does that make me sick? And you guys are the fools
for watching them.
Watching them all back to back to back. And then they traded one out. They traded maybe the worst, the most disturbing one of all, the 120 Days of Solo, for A Clockwork Orange, which A Clockwork Orange, not disturbing at all when you're watching those things.
Yeah. In the context.
That was comedy relief.
Context.
But I warn people not to watch these if they believe in God and they think they can go to heaven. Watching movies like this might send you straight to hell.
You realize you've assigned me now two or three of those?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You deserve it. You deserve it.
Interesting. I feel like I'm going to heaven, but you might be trying to mitigate that.
Yeah, I know. It'd be really funny.
Mitigate.
If because of this gambling thing, you go south.
All right, Logan, let's gamble.
Last week, you guys gambled on Ted 2.
We did.
Oh, fuck.
At the time, the Rotten Tomatoes score is 44%. Anderson did 50 and Brian 52.
Damn it.
Yeah.
The Rotten Tomatoes score the week after its release has gone up, though. Just at 47%, though. Making Anderson the winner yet again.
Nice. Close.
Nice.
All right. What am I going to say? Why do you laugh like that?
You need to see a movie, Brian. Called One Trick Pony.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
All right. Hey, listen, I know he has some great music.
Brian, if you recall last week, was so proud of himself.
That's very clever.
So proud of himself. Actually, you know what? A couple of listeners sent me this idea, and I'm like, believe me, it's already cocked and loaded. I got this. Brian was so self-satisfied last week where he had his number one song in a movie was from a movie he's never seen, which is available. You can stream it and watch it right now if you like. But Brian decided to forego it and not watch it, despite the fact that his boyhood hero, Ebert, gave it 3.5 stars.
Yeah. True.
So Brian's going to be watching this movie now and let us all know.
One Trick Pony.
One Trick Pony.
Look forward to that, everyone.
Or Summer School. No, that's next week.
You plan on winning already?
Yeah.
Well, this week you got to win at...
Don't touch the
mic that time. You got to win at guessing the Rotten Tomato score of Terminator Genesis.
Ooh, hi.
This looks really
Yikers.
Good. This looks really, really good.
Khaleesi, she's such a quality actress. I think she really saved him. And critics love their Governator. So
it's true.
The fact that he's back and, one of these. And he also reprises the role, I'll Be Back, which it's not pandering.
It's not pandering at all.
Not
at all.
Critics appreciate the fact that the movie's not pandering. Looks original from beginning to end. High quality production value. Billboards look...
I'm way too high. Or am I?
Billboards look...
I feel like I'm either too high or too low. Or possibly right on.
Feels like a bad TV show from the mid-90s. Hmm. That's what it looks like.
All right, what's your number?
41.
41!
What?
41.
Oh, no. Oh, no!
41.
All right, what do we do here? What do we do?
Don't I get to assign
you? I think Logan has to assign a movie. Hold on, we have to see who wins.
Wait, no, we got... Wait, do you get to just defaults to him gets to assign
us a
movie?
If we tie, which has never
That's
happened before.
That's a shit.
No, I thought... Well, yeah, usually it's a tie, like if you guess two different numbers and it lands right in the middle. But I guess that's the same would apply.
This is a moot point. Is there any way we don't tie?
No.
Hold
so next week,
I'm still thinking
I'm
about
ready
it.
With movie.
How could that...
This is horrible.
How is that a possibility?
It's not at all. That's why it's
41.
I get to assign you guys different movies, right?
Real quick.
Okay, because it's hard to pick a movie that you both have.
This is 3 weeks in a row that we've picked either like within a point or two of each other or now dead.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the vibe of where we're recording.
Oh, I've been watching trailers a little bit more just because I got so sick of losing. And watching trailers really helps you out.
You get an idea.
a much better idea.
Here's why I guess 41.
Like
the commercial I saw last for Terminator Genesis, there was a quote said, "You will love this movie." James Cameron. It's like, oh no! The guy who stands to benefit the most financially is guaranteeing we're gonna love it. They can't get a critic quote.
Was it? It wasn't James you. Cameron. Somebody recently told me that they saw they're sitting in the theater for Transformers, the original.
Oh yeah.
And these two bros were sitting in front of them, and like after the first scene, action packed first scene in Transformers, the bros looked at each other and said. Michael Bay is back. And they high-fived.
That's funny.
Oh, I remember, God, it's so gross.
That's funny. I remember saying Bad that voice, and man. Someone behind me making note of it.
No, because this person had a friend with them.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Well, not that it matters, but just for fun, with 111 reviews, the current Rotten Tomato score for Terminator is 25%.
25?
I almost went 37.
I almost went 44.
Man, why did I not do 37? Why?
I'm hearing that, like, all it pretty much is a lot of references to the older movies.
Great.
That's all it is through the whole movie.
Is Michael Biehn in it?
It's like the After Disaster with a bunch of inside jokes. It's constantly referring
It'll
to
It'll be
itself.
A computer-generated Michael Biehn. Much younger looking Michael
Better with
Biehn.
Young Biehn.
I'll be back. And he hops out of the helicopter.
Christ.
Thank Wait, you
so what is this now? Logan, this has never happened in the history of the program. Logan,
it happened once.
It happened once. We tied once, but not the same guess. We tied with like right down the middle.
Different kind of tie.
Why don't you pick something in the theaters he would kind of like to have us?
Why did you let him do his own thing?
Because he could do that.
Power Rangers the movie next week.
You're wow. kidding me.
I don't know. I'm kidding. I'm joking. Yeah.
Logan, what is the future art? Can you show me the artwork of this
one? Yeah.
Thanks you to Eric Yvonne. I'm going to say at Eric Yvonne is his Twitter handle. He provided the featured art, which I'm looking at right now.
Oh, I saw that. That's I sent this to you. He sent it to my email.
Wait a minute. That sucks.
He sent it to my email and then I sent it to you, Lugs.
Yeah, I got it my own way too.
Oh, you did?
That's not. That's
thanks,
not
Eric. It's pretty sweet. I've ever wondered what I look like as Tom Hardy, the answer's right there.
That's about as good as it's going to get.
Tad.
Check out AndersonandBrian.com, everyone. That's where you go to find out our featured artists. Hey, if you want to know them now, they have the Subway Surfers, the Cameo Inn, Before Dawn,
hey.
Hank and Her Ponies, the Bush Leaguers, and Arcade High. Thanks, you guys. You can find links to all their stuff on AndersonandBrian.com. You can find a list of all the films we discussed. Comment on our episodes if you don't mind. Let us know what you think. Check us out, The Film Vault, on Facebook and Twitter. If you'd like to vote, find out more information on things where you can find Anderson's Film Fest. Yes?
Yeah, I guess when I finalize it tonight.
September 26th.
September 26th. I'll mark that. I'm going to keep that night, most likely. So until next week, I guess we do it for Van Gogh.